Good afternoon to all of you, maybe good morning or good evening to some of you. I hope to be able to spend the next hour sharing some thoughts about Tisha B'Av, about the significance of this day and its importance to us at this point. This Tisha B'Av is obviously very different from all other Tisha B'Avs, given the state of the world and where we find so we are in a very different place, and we're not able to access this Tisha B'Av as we normally would. In addition, for me personally, this Tisha B'Av is extremely different. This is the first time in 42 years that I have not been leading the discussion and presentation of Tisha B'Av kinos and shiurim relating to the themes of Tisha B'Av. I started in the late 1970s when I was a rabbi of the Young Israel of Sharon, Massachusetts. And I would teach in my very small shul for just a little while to feel that I discharged my obligation, and then I would run to Brookline to be able to sit with Rabbi Soloveitchik, and was able to do so until I came to New York in 1981. And it continued through all these years. In the year 2005, when I came to YU, that's when it really began to develop. That's when there was a very large audience, and I was able to do so from about 9:30 to 5. This year it was impossible for me to sustain more than 1 hour staring into my computer, and I regretfully and with great reluctance recognize that the things are going to have to change. And I very much appreciate my colleagues at YU and at the Center for the Jewish Future, headed by Rabbi Glasser. And I thank Rabbi Winston. I thank Menachem Lewin. I thank all those who were responsible to putting together such a very special and extraordinary Tisha B'Av program, and I'm only one piece of it. I want to acknowledge one thing that has not changed, and that is the sponsorship of the Rocco family. To express Hakara Satov to Dr. Avi and Shuli Rakoff for sponsoring my part of this year, as they had every year for the entire presentation and commemoration, this year of the 42nd Yortzeit of Helen Friedman Kuflik, Hadla Ruchama Bas Avram Shlomo Ve'eta Malka, and in memory of Betty Bloom Rakoff, Braina Ita Bas Chanoch Henoch, V'Baina Rachel. And I also want to thank Susan Dworkin Kass for sponsoring all of the learning that's being done on the YU Torah site today. I think the key word that we're feeling and experiencing and have been for the last number of months is being alone. The word in Hebrew for quarantine is bidud. I'm sure you've all heard this from people going to Israel or from Israel. You're going into bidud. Bidud means quarantine. Bidud means being alone. Bidud happens to be the third word in Sefer Eicha. Eicha yoshva badud. I've been resonating with this word now for a long time. Eicha yoshva badud ha'ira basiya. On the site where you signed up for this, there is a place for you to download the handout. So please go ahead and do so. Eicha yashva badad. Eicha yashva badad. If you look at the Kitzer Alshach, which is on the right-hand side on page 1, he says the following. Eicha yashva badad. Lo his lonein al Yerushalayim asher tim uha begilulehem. The issue that Yirmiyahu Hanavi here is bemoaning is not the city of Jerusalem, which has been defiled by its abominations, which has been destroyed. but rather va'asa ikar hatluna al baneha sheyashva badad. The focus is not on the city, the focus is on the people. And this is a very important introduction for me. I'd like you to file this away, and we're going to come back to this kitzer ashoch later. Sheyashva badad, gam dana kimitzora shebadad yoshev. Where else does the word badad appear in the Torah? In the context of mitzora. Mitzora is someone who is defined as having leprosy, and the Torah tells us that such a person literally needs to be quarantined. So the city is quarantined, the people are quarantined, and that's the focus. The focus is not so much on the city itself as it is on the people. Now, what does it mean, ha'ir rabasi'a? Echa yashva badad, ha'ir rabasi'a. Now we come to talk about the city. If you look at the Mahari Kara on the bottom right below it, a city that used to be full of people. How sad it is. Look at the contrast. Once it was teeming, and now it's empty. The Rishon LeZion right below it, the parish of written by Reb Chaim Ibn Attar, was the same author as the Or HaChayim HaKadosh Ala Torah, points out that we're not talking about the future, but in fact, at some moment in time, both existed. There was Yashva Badad, while Ha'ir Rabasiya. The Hainu, bottom right of page one, Bizman Atzmo Shehi Rabati Am, Hi Yoshevet Badad. That it's in fact possible to have both at the same time. It's possible for it to sit alone, to sit separate, to be far, but it is at the same time possible for it to be also full of people. Kamosha Amru B'Medrash, and quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says in Echa Rabba, we're going to come to it in a moment, Shekodem HaChurban Nistalka HaShchina, that before the Churban actually occurred, the divine presence removed itself. Ubarach Dodi, and the beloved escaped, namely God escaped from the city of Yerushalayim. Hagam she'adayin meleya am, even though it was full of people. Let's take a look at this midrash on the left-hand side of the first page. It's a midrash in Psichta, it's Psichta Chavdalad, not Chavhei. The Midrash Eicha is divided into two parts. There are proems, what's known as prolegomena, or introductions, and there are a number of them. Some of them just are a few lines, and some of them are a number of pages. And that's all before we even get to the Midrashic commentary on Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. So in proem, prolegomena number 24, we find the following. As long as I'm here, it's going to be impossible for this city to be destroyed. Nobody could touch it. Because after all, the divine presence rests in it. And if the divine presence is here, so it's sacrosanct, it's holy. Nobody can ever overcome it. Ella, so how's this destruction going to take place? Achabesh et einaymi meno. I'm going to have to avert my eyes from it. Ve'eshavan, I'm going to have to swear shelo esokeik lo ad eis keitz. I'm not going to be able to relate to it anymore until the final redemption. I'm going to remove myself, at which point it will be possible ve'yavo ha'ayvim ve'yacharivu. So it'll be possible for it to be destroyed. Miyad nishba kodesh baruch hu bi'amino. He swore by his right hand, Vechazira Achorav, and he turned himself around and he left. Quotes a pasuk. So this is how the Rishon LeZion interprets the first verse in Eicha. Eicha Yashvad Badad, it is lonely because God is gone. But meanwhile, there is this small period of time where even though God is gone, it's still Rabasiyam until the actual destruction took place. Let's continue. Now that God is gone, now it's possible for the enemies to come and to destroy it. The Kivin Shanisraf, and once the temple is destroyed, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shuv Ein Li Moshav Ba'aretz. I don't have any way to live anymore in this earth. I have no dwelling place. Asalek Shechinasi Mimena. I'm going to have to totally remove myself, not just from the Beis HaMikdash, but from the entire world, because I don't have a place to rest myself. The Ela L'Machoni Harishon, I'm going to have to go up to my earlier habitation, back up to heaven. Quotes a pasuk. So now God is gone, not just from the city. The city is now destroyed. God is gone from the world. At which point God cries and says, oh my God, terrible. Woe is to me. What did I do? I brought my divine presence down into the world for the sake of Israel. Now that they sin, and I'm crying. I'm feeling out of place. This is not where I should be. I wanted to be down with the people in the city. Hashras Hashchina on Klal Yisrael. Chas v'shalom she'ayisi schok la'goyim v'lag la'brios. I'm going to be a joke and a mockery to the nations. V'osa sha'ba mitatron. Some heavenly force, some heavenly angel. One of the heavenly hosts came v'nofel al'ponav and fell down. V'amar l'fan rabon shalom ani efke v'ata lo sefke. It's pas garnished. You should cry. You know what? I'll cry instead of you. And there's a whole long discussion, and this concludes. Ba'osa Shoha, three lines from the bottom. Haya Kodesh Baruch Hu, Boche Va'omer, God is crying. Again, he's crying. Va'omer, and he says, Oili Al-Basi, oh my God, woe to me for my house. It's my house. I'm no longer in my house. Bonai Hechanatem, where are my children? Kohanai Hechanatem. Oh, Havai, my beloved Hechanate. I want to ask three questions in my presentation on this Tisha B'Av. Question number one, top of page two, was a question that Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik asked his Malamed when he was a very little boy. In his book, Yemei Zikaron, that was published by the World Zionist Organization as a collection of essays that were spoken by the Rav and were summarized and were transcribed, Rabbi Soloveitchik said the following. He said this orally, and here it's written down, Yemei Zikaron. Kishayiti Yelet Katan, top of page two, Lamadati Torah Etzel Melamed Chassidim. So we know a lot about Rabbi Soloveitchik's Chassidish Melamdim. So first of all, fascinating. They had cheder on Erev Tisha B'Av, right? You know, the world shuts down the end of June, the end of Chodesh Tammuz. They're churning along. It's Erev Tisha B'Av. He's learning with his Malamed. And they come to this story, the story that I just read to you. Higana was lemisupar bepsichta chavdala b'medrash eicha rabbas. And in the next paragraph, he copies the story. God realizes that the world cannot function with him there in Jerusalem, in the Beis HaMikdash. If the destruction is going to take place, he has to leave. So he leaves. No sooner does he leave, he starts to cry. And not only does he cry once, he cries twice. Kasher shamati tiur zeh, when I heard this description, Sha'alti barov tmimusi. In my tmimus, in my childlike innocence, he raises his hand. Rebbe, Rebbe. I asked a simple question. I don't understand. Al shumma v'lama tzarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifkos u'lehisabel. Al churban v'es hamikdash. Why does God have to cry? It's a very, very simple. V'halo yachal hu lahakimo al tikuno berega echad. Let him fix it. Let him rebuild it. What's the big deal? You're crying? Stop crying! Fix it! God could fix it. Rebbe, 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 I don't understand. Why didn't God fix it? That's my first question. It's a tmimistika question. It's a very profound question. If I'm crying, so God doesn't have to fix it. If God is crying, God should fix it. Question number two. It's a pasuk in Eicha that says, "Kara alai moed lishbar bachurai," that Tisha B'Av is considered to be a moed. A moed, simple interpretation, means it's a fixed time, which is what the pshat means. It's a set aside time. It's a fixed time. But moed, as we know, moedim l'simcha, we wish people a happy yomtiv. Moed is a yomtiv. Ela moadei Hashem. And Tisha B'Av has a character of a yomtiv. How does Tisha B'Av have a character of a yomtiv? So just Shabbos, I've been thinking about this as I was preparing my remarks this year. Shabbos, in comes to my mailbox the current issue of Hamayan. Hamayan is put out by Yeshivat Shalavim. Current issue, it's the bottom half of page 2, Tammuz Tafshin Pei. And there's an article, Tisha B'Av Ikri Moed. I said, oh my God, it's amazing. I open it up, and the article begins, the author begins by giving, bottom half of page 2, top of page 3, 7 examples of how halachically Tisha B'Av is a yomtiv. Number 1, middle of page 2, Ein omrim tachnun be'erev Tisha B'Av, why not mishum de'ikri moe? Number 2, Ein omrim tzidkoscha tzedek, kasher Tisha B'Av chal b'yom rishon, we don't say tzidkoscha tzedek at mincha the day before, because it's considered to be like Erev Shabbos, it's considered to be it's considered to be like Rosh Chodesh. Number 2, it's like Rosh Chodesh. We don't say, if it's Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, or the next day, we don't say Tzid Koscha. Number 3, we don't say Vihi Noem. A Mitzvah Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av is the next day, the Ikri Moed. We don't say Tachna, not only Erev Tisha B'Av, but on Tisha B'Av. Mishum Shekari Moed. Top of page 3, we don't say slichos. I mean, it's really odd. Slichos is a fixture when it comes to the fast days. No slichos. Why not? Mishum de ikri moed. Number 4, we don't say lam natzeach before a volatzion on Tisha B'Av. Mishum de ikri moed. Number 7, we don't say tziduk hadin on Tisha B'Av because of kara alai moed. 7 examples. Here you have them one after another. My job was made much easier. I didn't have to go pull every passage in the Shulchan Aruch and cut it and paste it and put it on the sheet. 7 examples that Tisha B'Av is a holiday. And it acts like a holiday. It has the status of a holiday. A holiday? The next last paragraph is he asks the question, what kind of holiday? How could Tisha B'Av be a moed? Tisha B'Av is not a holiday. Tisha B'Av is a tragedy. Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning. Tisha B'Av, we're fasting. What do you mean Tisha B'Av is a holiday? First question, Rabbi Soloveitchik's question to his Malamed, Rebbe, I don't get it. If God is crying, God could stop crying. In a nanosecond, he could stop crying. Question number 2, Tisha B'Av is a holiday? I just rattled off 7 implications that Tisha B'Av is a holiday practically. Practically, the way we behave on Tisha B'Av, it's a holiday. It's an Ikri Moed. What are you talking about? Now comes question number 3. Question number 3 is a question that I heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik, the very first Tisha B'Av in 1973 when I sat at his feet. Rabbi Soloveitchik taught in the Maimonides School all day on Tisha B'Av. And there were maybe 80 people who came. And I always think, I taught on Tisha B'Av for YU beginning in 2005. There were many thousands of people who were online. Could you imagine if Rabbi Soloveitchik would have had that technology? Could you imagine there'd be 450,000 people online listening to Rabbi Soloveitchik? So he asked this question, and this is a question. I try not to repeat myself, but this is a question that I have asked in the past. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis at the bottom half of page 3, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara goes through a whole cheshbon back and forth. The Gemara first has to dispense with a contradiction in two psukim. One pasuk says it happened on the 7th. One pasuk says it happened on the 10th. So the Gemara works it out and basically concludes about 5-6 lines from the bottom. Haketzad. Yeshiva nichnasu nachrim lehechol, v'achlu v'kilku lubo shvi ishmini, uchi samach l'chashecho etzisu bo esha'or, v'hayadolek v'holech kol ha'yom kulo. That when did the Beis HaMikdash begin to burn? It was Tisha B'Av afternoon. I don't know, it was 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Tisha B'Av started the night before. A whole day it's Tisha B'Av. And in the afternoon, late afternoon, the Gemara says the Lashon is Samoch L'chashecha, so maybe it's 7:30. That's when it starts to burn, and it burns the whole next day. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I would have done it on the next day, because that's when most of it was burnt. And I've spent a lot of time over the years analyzing this machlokes. If that's the case, if the Tisha B'Av really begins to be Tisha B'Av and the Beis HaMikdash is burnt, begins to burn in the afternoon, so why is it, top of page 4, that halachically it actually gets easier in the afternoon? Number of years ago, I gave you the reference at the top of the first page in 2017. So YU published one in a series of books called Mitocha Ohel, From Within the Tent. And this one had to do with the Yamim Tovim. It had to do with the special days. And I have an article in there on Nachem, on Tfilas Nachem, on Tisha B'Av. And I lay out in this article a whole bunch of practices that get easier in the afternoon. So the Magen Avraham says that if you travel and you're afraid, you can wear shoes. The Rama says that you could, quote, work after Chatzos. The Mordechai says you can begin preparing the evening meal after Chatzos. We know that we put on tefillin only at Mincha. There's no tefillin in the morning. We know that even sitting on the floor, we don't have to sit on the floor only the first part of the day, not later. And we know that we say Nachem. When do we start saying Nachem? It's a disagreement. The Machlokas Rishonim. Logically, we should say it all day. But we don't. We only say it at Mincha. Mincha, we say Nachem? Mincha, we get up from the chair? Mincha, we could loosen up a little bit? On the contrary, yes, Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's precisely when we should be ratcheting up our level of mourning. Because that's precisely when the temple began to be destroyed. In answer to this question, in answer to question number 3, why is it that things get easier when actually things should get harder, because that's dafka when the temple was destroyed? Rabbi Soloveitchik every year, he had his favorites, and every year he quoted from this medrash in the fourth parak of Eicha. Mizmor la'asaf Elokim bo goyim benachal asach. And I've quoted from this over the years as well. Lo havakra tzarech lemeimar ela bechila asaf, nehila asaf. Mizmor, what's the pasuk? Mizmor la asaf. It's a song to asaf. Elokim, O God, bo ugoyim benachal asacha. The Gentiles have come into your inheritance. What, it's a mizmor? We're happy? Bo ugoyim benachal asacha. It's horrible. Nehila asaf. Kina la asaf. Bechila asaf, it's terrible. Why is it a mizmor? We should be crying. And very famously, the Medrash answers with a mashal. The mashal is about a king who built a beautiful home for his son. The son misbehaved, and the king destroyed the house. The pedagogue, that's actually the word that's used here in the Medrash. It's a Greek word for, as we have it in English, as a mentor, as a teacher, as a tutor, begins to play a musical instrument. Everybody says, what are you talking about? The house of your student was just destroyed. What are you happy about? And he answers, in truth, it was my student who should have been punished. He was the one who misbehaved. What happened? His father vented his anger on the house, not on my student. He spared the student. Ah, Mizmor La'asaf, says the Medrash, Elokim bo goyim benachal asecha, because the temple is destroyed for a reason. Those who misbehaved that precipitated the destruction of the temple, they are the ones who should have been punished. But what happens? Famous phrase, Shafach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 3 lines from the bottom, Chamaso al ha'etzim v'alo avonim v'lo shafach chamaso al Yisrael. God vented his anger on the stones and not on the Jewish people. the Jewish people continues. Because the Jewish people continues, Mizmor La'asaf, Elokim Ba'u Goyim B'Nachal Asach. The top of page 5, I just cite for the distinguished learned rabbinic scholars on this call, that this medrash is not Dazoyazav Havarfen a medrash in Medrash Echa only, which is certainly a good place for it, but it's also it's a Rashi in Kedushin, a Tosfos in Kedushin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. But what do we have here? Just stop for a second. The temple is destroyed, and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash becomes a reason for a Mizmor La'asaf. Many years ago, I came across a chidar, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, very famous Sephardi scholar in the 18th century, was extremely prolific, and among his probably 3 to 4 dozen books that we know about, published a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch called Birkei Yosef, and he quotes from the Sefer HaKavanos of the Ari. So I was tipped off to a passage in the Sefer Kavanos of the Ari. I went looking, and I found the Shara Kavanos on the bottom right. Listen to the Ari. Mashenagu biyom tishuvav b'mincha lomar psukim shel nechamos v'lokum v'losheves al hasaf salim l'mayla. He asks this question. Gets a little bit easier in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. We say Nachem, we get off the floor, we start to sit down. But wait a minute, aren't there Rabbi? Nirem in a Talmud Bavli, ki le'eserev de Tisha B'Av, itzisu ha'or behecho, v'nisrav be'es ha'mincha, u'kefize ha'yaroi lahachmir be'mincha, yosar mi b'shachar. Avali says, I'll quote for you from this medrash. And listen carefully and internalize this. It's shocking. The destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is a reason to recite a mizmar, to recite a song. And listen to the Ari's formulation quoted by the Chidar. Chiraosam, a little more than halfway down at the beginning of the line, he quotes the Medrash here, Chiraosam, and the Jews saw She'etziso ha'esh behecho le'eserev shuzman ha'mincha, when they saw that the temple was being set afire, Oz amru mizmor, they said a mizmor. And listen to the next 3 words. You're not going to believe it. V'samchu simcha gedol. V'kiblu nechama. Ki im chas v'shalom lo haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashlech hamas al leitzim v'al avanim, lo haysa tekuma, the Jewish people would not have been able to exist. The Beis Hamikdash is set afire. Simcha Gedola! Woo! Mizmor! It's a song. Samchu. Simcha Gedol. It's quoted by the Birkei Yosef, quotes Mamish Kimat Mila B'Mila, word for word from this Shar HaKavanos, the Sefer HaKavanos of the Ari. So we have an answer to the third question. You know why it gets easier? Because the Jewish people heaved a collective sigh of relief. They're not on the line anymore. They're going to be around. They're going to be okay. Yes, there were many who were killed. There's a lot of destruction during the first temple destruction, second temple destruction. But the Nitzchis of Klal Yisrael is assured. And so therefore, Dafke gets better. It's a Mizmor La'asaf. It's a Samchu, Simcha Gedol. In rabbinic literature, there's such a phrase, Lulei B'mistafina. You know, if I wasn't afraid and if I had guts, I might even suggest that maybe that answers the second question. What was the second question? Why is Tisha B'Av a Moed? It's a Yomtiv. Why is it a Yomtiv? I'll tell you why it's a Yomtiv. Samchu Simcha Gedola, Simchas Yomtiv. You know why Tisha B'Av is a Yomtiv? Because, shock, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because it beat the alternative. The alternative is that the Jewish people, Chas V'Shalom, would not have been able to exist. So therefore, Tisha B'Av is a yamtiv, samchu, simcha gedola, mizmor. But if that's not what we mourn for on Tisha B'Av, we're not mourning today for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That actually, shock, that's actually the good news. I can't even believe I'm saying these words. My whole life, until I found this Ari, this Birkei Yosef, it never really internalized in me. I knew from Rabbi Soloveitchik the Medrash, Mizmor. Okay, it was a Mizmor. But that's muted. That's a muted formulation compared to Samchu, Simcha, Gedola, not just Samchu. Not just Samchu, Simcha, but Samchu, Simcha, Gedola. So then what's Tisha B'Av all about? So the question underlying these three questions is, what is Tisha B'Av all about? If it's not really about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Baruch Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's crazy, I can't even believe it. Can't believe I'm saying it. The top of page 6, I bring to your attention a very special, very deeply, deeply thoughtful idea that's shared by Rav Shlomo Volbe, who was a mashkiach in Be'er Yaakov in Israel. Later on, he was a mashkiach in the Mir in Yerushalayim. He has two volumes of a sefer called Ali Shur. He's very profound. And in general, I recommend him. I've been poking around a little bit more, trying to assess some of what it is that he's discussing. So he writes the following. We're now at the top of page 6. Od lanu devarim bazeh. And he quotes one of the examples that I gave you earlier. Ein omrim tachnon b'tisha b'av, ve'ein noflim al panei mishum deikrei moed. Adoni mori v'rabi amar al zeh davar amok, my Rebbe. So he doesn't quote the name of his Rebbe, but I know that Rav Volva learned in the Mir, in the Alta Mir, and back home in the Mir. So I'm assuming it's probably Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, who was the Mashkiach of the Mir. That's what I'm assuming. So my Rebbe asked a question, and he said the following. Yeshnam mo'adim shel kiruv. There are times a mo'ed of closeness, like the Sholosh Regalim. V'yeshno mo'ed shel richuk. There's a mo'ed, a holiday of distance. V'zehu Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a mo'ed. But it's not a moed of closeness. It's a moed of distance. Follow carefully. Who's the distance from? It's distance from God. Is that an occasion for a moed? I understand a moed shel kiruv. Shalosh regalim, aliyah leregel, migod Yerushalayim, hashroas hashchina. God's presence is palpably obvious. I get that. Moed shel richuk, I have a moed, I have a yamtiv, for distance. And he says something very deep. Ach hine yesh od matzav shlishi, milvad kiruv v'richuk. There's a third option. One option is we're distant. One option is we're close. We think we exhausted the options. Either you're close or you're distant. No, there's a third option. And the third option is when you think you're close, but you really are distant. The third option is when you really don't know what you are. You are confused. You simply don't really know exactly where we are. Beginning of the next paragraph. Mikerev liban avad cheshbonan nafshan. People lost track of where they are. Lo karov velo rachok. They are parech ba'avir. V'yachol ledamos shehu adam shalem. It's possible for you to imagine that you're okay. U'be'emes, you're not okay. Choshev shehu osa mitzvos. U'be'emes hein averos. Osa maise ziri, famous rabbinic phrase, u'mevakesh char kepinchas. You don't know. You don't know You don't have a handle on what you are. You don't have a handle of the situation in which you spiritually find yourself. You think you're here, but you're not here. Zuhi hamadrega hatachtona, yoser garua me'akol. That's the worst. It's worse even than richuk. The worst is when you're oblivious. You have no idea. Skip a paragraph. Ze haya matzav hador lefnei churban habayis. Before the churban habayis, they weren't anchored. They didn't have a good self-awareness. They didn't know who they were and what they were. Ach bevo hachurban, but when the churban came, nifkechu einem v'hikiru es atzmas richukam. They realized, oh my God, we're really far away. V'al hakaras harichuk hazeh kav'u moed shel richuk. They made a yomtiv because they gained clarity. Now I know where I stand. I know that I'm far away. V'omek ha'inyon hu. What does that mean? Kasher odom omed al atzmas richuko mimene yisbarach. When somebody recognizes self-awareness of who they are, and they acknowledge and they internalize the fact that they're distant from God, who mafchin comes to the conclusion, he has this awareness, this wisdom, omnam rachok, aval yachas yesh kvar beno lebein boro. I know that now I'm far, but I know that we have a relationship. But omdo skipped two lines al harichuk, when he recognizes where he is, when that person recognizes where they are, who mitzta'er al harichuk, aval hu omar al ha'emes. At least he knows the truth. When you know the truth, even if the truth is distance, that's much better than being oblivious, than being nishtahi nishtaher, not really knowing, not really understanding, not really recognizing, not really acknowledging. So you know what Tisha B'Av is all about? Tisha B'Av is all about the distance. Tisha B'Av is all about the richuk. And maybe it's a moed because we come face to face with the distance. Rabbi Yerucham, maybe it was Rabbi Yerucham taught Rabbi Volba that there's such a thing as a moed shel richuk. Answer to question number two, how could Tisha B'Av be a moed? Because at least we have clarity. We have clarity. We have clarity that we're removed. We have clarity that we're distant. Continue in the bottom half of page 6. What's a pasuk later on in Echa? Al eila ani bochia, eini eini yordomayim, ki rachak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi. Perek Aleph, pasuk Tezai. Let me tell you why I'm crying. I mean, it doesn't get more direct than this. Al eila ani bochia, I'm crying. Why? Why? Eini eini yordomayim, my eyes, twice eyes, are gushing water, tears. Ki rochak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi, because my menachem is far from me. What is my menachem? Look at the Ma'ari Kara on the left side. Perish Beis, menachem ki rochak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi. Shekol kach gadol ke'evi, I feel so much pain. She'ein adam yachol lenachameni lehashiv nafshi. No person can help me. There's no human being that could redeem me. I have no menachem, I have no comforter. But once again, go back to the Kitzer Alshich. Who's the menachem? What's the reference to menachem in this pasuk? Hainu hashchina shenestalka mimen. It's the shchina. It's the distance. Why am I crying? What is Tisha B'Av all about? I'll tell you something that maybe you don't realize. If you read through the keynotes, I invite you to send me an email. Where in the keynotes on Tisha B'Av is there a reference to mourning the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? There are references, but they are rare. The crux of the keynotes on Tisha B'Av, all of them, the crux is the implication of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the distance, and the alienation, and the separation. That's the core message of the Kinos. And that is what Tisha B'Av is all about. It's not about what happened on Tisha B'Av. It's what happened as a result of what happened on Tisha B'Av. Look at the top of page 7. Once again, Rabbi Volba, 2-3 pages later, after the text that I just quoted from, he has here a whole analysis of the Kinos. He tries to explain the words. The greatness of Rabbi Soloveitchik is that he opened up a closed book. The Hebrew is incomprehensible. And he opened it up and he made it possible for us to appreciate it. Rabbi Volba here also tries to take you by the hand and go kino by kino to explain. And he begins, Noda al ha-emes, top of page 7, Beis HaMikdash v'churbano rachok me'itonu ad ma'od. Where this is very far from us, very distant. Dai tov lanu ba'olam kefi shehu b'li Beis HaMikdash. It's felt maraisa Beis HaMikdash. Chaleb zecha b'chazer ishin tog. I'm having a great time. I got a nice house, a beautiful apartment. I got 2 apartments. I got a car. I got to travel. Emetz Hashem, we should travel. I have a good life. V'sefelt maraisa Beis HaMikdash. Ve'enenu margishim. And he says, we don't really feel. Ki ha'ikar chasar ba'olam. What's the ikar that is chaser ba'olam? Me'oz she'ashchino astalka mimakom. Not me'oz churban Beis HaMikdash. That's not the ikar she'chaser ba'olam. Me'oz she'ashchino astalka mimakom. The Nesiv Shalom, the Slonimer, has become wildly popular in the last number of years for very good reason. And in his section on Bein HaMetzorim, the bottom half of page 7. I'm just going to read a line or two. I'll just point out, he says, what is it that we daven for in Shalosh Regalim? What is it that we daven for in the Musaf of Shalosh Regalim? Avinu Malkeinu Gale Kavod Malchuscha Aleinu Mehiram, in the middle of the second paragraph on the left side. V'hofa V'hinasi Aleinu Le'enei Kol Chai Melech Rachman Rachem Aleinu. What is it that we talk about on Shabbos morning in Kedusha Mimkomcha Malkeinu Sofia V'simloch Aleinu Kimachakim Anachnu Lach? What are we focusing on? We're focusing on the distance. What are we bewailing? What are we mourning for? We're mourning for the distance. Mimkomcha, from your hidden spot, Malkeinu Sofia, come down already. Machakim Anachnu Lach, we're waiting for you. Gale Kvoid Malchuscha Aleinu. That's what Tisha B'Av is all about. And therefore, I just want to mention in passing, that's what the rest of the Kinos are all about. Now, for a long time, I always resonated with Rabbi Soloveitchik, said every year, you know what, Tisha B'Av is not just a day to commemorate the destruction of the Batei Mikdash. Tisha B'Av is a day to commemorate all Jewish tragedies. And so we have Kinos for the Crusades. And so we have Kinos for the Asura Arugei Malchus. And we have a Kino for the burning of the Sefer Torah in not just Sefer Torah, but wagon loads full of manuscripts, 24 wagon loads in 1242 in Paris by Maharami Rutenberg. And that's why he felt very strongly that Tisha B'Av is a day to commemorate the Shoah. Tisha B'Av is a day to commemorate all Jewish tragedies. So we're going to mention all of these kinos on Tisha B'Av. But now I have a deeper understanding of that. What do they represent, all of these tragedies? Shkula harigasan shel tzadikim kechurban beis elokeinu. When great teachers are killed, when manuscripts of Torah are destroyed, it simply is a reflection of God's distance from us. The same distance that's reflected in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is reflected in the death of great people, because now God's wisdom is that much more removed. When 24 wagon loads of manuscripts, they didn't have printing yet, 24 wagon loads of manuscripts were incinerated. That means that God's word is now harder to access. God is further away. It's exactly why we mentioned them on Tisha B'Av, because that's the ikar of Tisha B'Av. It's not, we're going to do the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and we're also going to do other things. No. It's all one theme. And the one theme is the distance. And so if that's the case, what are we going to do about it? We know that there's distance. We actually are grateful. A la Rabbi Volbi, Moed Shel Richuk, at least we know where we stand. So what are we going to do about it? I answered question number two, why is Tisha B'Av a Moed? I answered question number three, why does it get easier? And now I want to go back to question number one, to the question that a Tmimistic, a little barrel, Yosef Dov Halevi, asked his Chassidish Malamed, God knows how many years ago when he was a little boy. Page 8. What was the first question? We started with the Medrash de Psichta. The Medrash in the Psichta Chav Dalid says that God recognized that as long as his presence is near in the Beis HaMikdash, nothing can happen. His very presence protects it. So in order for the destruction to occur, he had to remove himself. So he did, and all of a sudden he's crying. And he's crying again, and the mitatron comes and says to him, you know what, please don't cry, I'll cry. And God says, no, I have to cry. So little Yosef Dov says, Rebbe, stop crying, fix it. We're talking God here, right? The big G, fix it, you can do it, fix it. So Eisen Akasha, page 8, started from the beginning. We got to this story, third paragraph, and I asked this, when I heard this description, I asked with tmimis, with just purity, with utter simplicity, I asked my Rebbe a simple question. God didn't have to cry. Boom, in a second. What did the Rebbe tell him? I want to leave you with this. Heshivli HaRebbe Az. Beryl Tyra Beryl. Ilu HaYisa Baki Chabibi, my beloved ones, Be'inyane Chabad. It was a Chabad. Chassidus Melamed. If you'd know Chassidus Chabad, Hayisa Mevin, you would understand very well, and it doesn't only have to be in Chassidus Chabad. Ki be'inyanim merubim tzorech shetehei tchila hisorus milamata. In Aramaic, itaruta delatata. You know what? When it comes to a lot of things, we have to make the first move. When it comes to a lot of things, we have to start. Of course, God could do it. God could do anything. But God is waiting for us to do it. We have to make the move. If there's distance, so the onus is on us to bridge the gap, to bridge the distance. We have to do that. Our YU program today began with really a beautiful presentation by Rabbi Yaakov Glasser on the keynotes, and he gave an introduction. And I thank him for his kind words that he said about me. In the introduction, Rabbi Glasser quoted from a Sefer Avedis Yisrael, who learned a new pshat in the Pasuk HaRodfeha Hisigua Bein HaMetzarim. Simple pshat is all of those who pursued it, he see Guha Ben Amitzarim caught them in the straits. And these are talking about the enemies of the Jewish people, those who were trying to fight against the Jewish people, and they squeezed them into the Ben Amitzarim. The Heilige Avodas Yisrael says you have to break up the word, Kol Rodfeha, Kol Rodfei Ka. It's a beautiful word. Those who pursue God will be able to reach God, to achieve God during these difficult times of Bein HaMetzarim. This is the rabbinic way of describing the days between Shavuos Betamuz and Tisha B'Av. Kol Rodfei Ka. We have to make the move. We have to be Rodev. Rabbi Glasser spoke beautifully about the fact that God is present, and God is present, and even under the most difficult circumstances, God is present. And we believe that God is present. And even though we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, we believe that God is present. And even in this most difficult and complex time, we believe that God is present. We don't see it. We don't experience it directly, obviously, overtly, but we believe it. But the way to get to that hakara is to be a rodef ka, is for us to make the move. What did the Rebbe, the Melamed, tell Little Beryl? He said, you need to understand that you got to make the move. It's up to us to be able to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt and God brought closer to us. Let's continue reading. Bavadai Shabaoso Sha'a, continued Rabbi Soloveitchik, Lo Yaradati Lasov Dato Sharebim. I didn't know what he was talking about. I was a little kid. What did I know? I didn't really understand what he was saying. After many years, both the question and the answer became clear to me. Ribono shel olam hu kol yachol bakol. Done. Obvious. God can do anything. Ach ka'asher shmo hagadol atzmo mitchalel, when God's name is profaned, and when God is a lag and a keles, and when God is distant and God is removed, Al Knesses Yisroel lekanei ulehilachem leman shmo. We have to become kanoim. We have to become extremists. We have to become warriors. We have to become pursuers. We have to be a roidif. We have to be a pursuer in order to bring Hashem back. Coming out very shortly is a very, really an outstanding book by a very close friend of mine, Michael Kaiser, being published by OU Press. It's called L'chaber es Ha'ohel. And the whole book, which is incredibly amazing, and I urge all of you to grab a hold of it as soon as you can, is about connections. The subtitle is Exploring Connections. And right at the beginning of the book, before he even gets to page one, before he even gets to the table of contents, he quotes from a Zohar and he talks about the connection between the Olam Shel Maila and the Olam Shel Mata. And that's what I'm trying to highlight. There's a lot more in that book that's relevant. I want to stop before the table of contents. Lechaber es ha'ohel, to bring together. The Olam Shel Mata and the Olam Shel Maila. How do you bring together these two worlds? We make the move. We start. And we take a look at ourselves and we take a look at our lives and we see what could we be doing better, what could we be doing that would be worthy of having God's presence more obvious in our lives. We're good people. We're actually incredibly good people. We're very wonderful and special people. You know, those of you, you're here, you're spending Tisha B'Av in a meaningful way, trying to delve into the meaning and the relevance of it. And I have huge respect. But maybe even good people may have a little tweaking to do. What do we need to do? What's our move? What's the his iris de latata? In order to bring God back from heaven, in order to motivate God to come back in a second and to fix it and to bring us back to the Beis HaMikdash. Question number one was, why couldn't God do this? Rabbi Soloveitchik's question. Question number two is, why is Tisha B'Av a moed? Question number three is, why does it get easier when it should get harder in the afternoon? And the answer to all of them is because it's not really about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av, it's on us. It's about the distance. We know very well when there's distance in family, so we could stand on ceremony, we could say, I'm not going to make the call, let the other one make the call. But then we're not going to get anywhere. We make the call. We're the ones who initiate. And so we need to do this as well. So it is a shock that it's not about really the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's about the aftermath. And it's up to us. And it's something that we can fix. And it's something that we could do. We should have the wisdom to appreciate the moed shel richuk, to appreciate the clarity, and to be motivated to do what it is that we need to do, each one of us individually, to be able to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam down mimekomcha. Mimekomcha, Malkeinu Sophia, Besimlocholeinu, Kimechakim, Anachnu Lach.